Item two is the zoning agreement amendment at 50 Stafford Street under file ZAA 8 of 2011.
And we have Wally, is that Wally?
Waldy,
sorry. Dirksen, lawyer for the applicant, if you'd like to come forward, and whoever wants to come forward on
Mr. Washel, the applicant will.
The applicant, Mr. Washel, okay, come forward.
Good evening. My name is Bruce Washel, and I'm an accredited gemologist, and I started a business in Winnipeg 26 years ago, and named it Epsilon Creations. And we've been located a few blocks away from the property in question here for the past 15 years, and we've worked hard at developing a sophisticated and loyal clientele, primarily in the River Heights and the Fort Rouge area, with some great success. And after 26 years of leasing properties, three different properties at this point, we've finally been able to purchase a building to call our own, and that's 50 Stafford. This property is ideal for our purposes, and we selected this property because the setting is in keeping with the style of our business, and it's in close proximity to the clients that we presently serve. The majority of our work that we do is primarily professional gemological services, appraisals, consultation, and designing. Because our clients come to us to purchase design jewelry and gemstones, which is deemed retail, it is necessary to remove a 1994 caveat that severely restricts the property use. The City of Winnipeg Planning Department has recommended the withdrawal of the caveat and restore the property to a C1 zoning commercial neighborhood. My understanding is that this designation is intended to accommodate the lowest level of commercial uses, compatible in scale and character to the neighborhood. And I respect the direction of the planning department, and I believe their recommendations are progressive and intended for positive city benefits overall. And right now, presently, the Commissioners Corps of Canada exists in that building, and basically they have over 20 staff in this location, and there's a parking lot there for 27 spots, so I don't know how they quite handle their traffic flow there, but we have 6 employees only, and only 4 of them drive vehicles. So my feeling is, I'm quite certain that our impact to the traffic in the situation will greatly diminish the traffic in that area. So the commissioners also have such a high traffic flow that that's why they sold the building. They're moving to one that's 3 or 4 times the size. And the reason for this is because they're getting very busy in a sector of their work that's drawing a lot of people in off the street for criminal background checks and fingerprinting. So there's people, you know, coming and going all day long for this purpose. So it's quite a very busy place, and they don't have this space to handle that anymore. I'm not sure, but I don't really think that the service that's being provided in that building presently really benefits the neighborhood to any great degree, unless they're going for criminal checks and so on. And I don't know how often you can do that, but whereas there's probably a lot of other businesses, including ours, that could be in that building that could benefit the local residents and without an impact in the neighborhood in a negative way. Like, for example, Calvin High School has over 1,400 students, and St. Mary's Academy has over 500. And I would think that the parents driving back and forth and picking up their kids on a daily basis would probably account for a lot of the traffic in the area, which I really believe would dwarf any traffic impacts that we could possibly have in the area, if that was a concern for anyone. So I believe that we or many other businesses would provide services that could benefit the area residents, and I believe the property is appropriate for many types of business other than just an office space, and including ours. So I believe and I think the city planning department believes that the 1994 caveat is inappropriate at this time, and it's excessively restrictive to the use of that property. Our hopes are that the council moves to accept the planning department's recommendations to withdraw the 1994 caveat and put the property to some good, healthy use for the neighborhood. That's all I have to say. Thank you very much for sitting and listening.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Okay, thanks, and you'll have an opportunity to come back and speak in rebuttal, as is said by those in opposition. Waldy Dirksen, did you wish to speak or just be recorded in support?
I'll be recorded in support.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak in support of the application? Seeing none, we'll go to those in the opposition. I'll call your name and, are you Tim?
No.
Oh, do you want to go in first?
Well,
if those in opposition have an order you want to go in, it's fine.
I'm in support, actually.
You're in support. Oh, okay. Then do come forward. What is your name?
I didn't get myself
registered. Oh, you haven't filled out one
no.
of these yet? Okay. Could we? We'll get you to fill one out right afterwards, I guess.
Yeah.
If that's okay. Sure. So you can go forward. You're in support.
So, okay. I'm an architect, a registered architect of MA. My name is Mohan. I'm helping Mr. Washoe in developing this new project. So as Mr. Washoe said, I see some really benefits to the neighborhood by, you know, by developing this project, and in terms of removing those caveats that was registered in 1994. As Mr. Washoe said, like, if parking is a concern, I mean, with this new business, it's going to be reduced, like a quarter of the amount that has been already assigned for. And I think that's it. Like, I have to say, like, I'm in total support of this project.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions? Okay, thank you, sir. Anybody else who's in support who is not, this is your chance to speak. Okay, thank you. We have a number of people in opposition. I'll ask you if you wish to speak. This is your opportunity, or to simply to be recorded in opposition. Tim Smith.
I wish to speak.
Please come forward.
Thank you. My name is Tim Smith. My family and I have resided at 107 Kingsway since October of 2000. Our property is located directly across the back lane from 50 Stafford, and our garage faces the parking lot of that location. As is common in Winnipeg, we have no front driveway, and therefore we rely on our back lane to access parking for our vehicles. Any business operating at 50 Stafford has an impact on our privacy and on the value of our property. I'd like to comment, though. I noticed in my submission that I referred to Stafford Avenue and, of course, it's Stafford Street.
We'll let that go.
In the 10 years that we have lived in our home, the Commissioners of Canada have resided at 50 Stafford. The nature of their business has been suitable for the quiet residential neighborhood that we enjoy. From this, we understand and appreciate why the existing zoning caveat may have been put in place in 1994. But the only concern that we have ever had with the current commercial use at 50 Stafford is related to vehicle congestion, particularly during morning and afternoon rush hours. And while the property at 50 Stafford has a parking lot with 20 stalls, I know Bruce, you said 27, I only counted 20, but... It's one of those. Congestion takes place even when the lot is only half full. And of course, this is compounded by vehicle passage of many residents on the north side of Kingsway, the side that I live on, who rely on the back lane to get to and from their homes. So we're concerned about excessive congestion in that area. I've spoken to Mr. Washel, the purchaser of 50 Stafford, about his plan to relocate his existing retail jewelry and precious gem store with a staff of six, the premises. I have no concerns with this stated plan, but believe provisions should be put in place that specify this purpose alone and restrict other uses. Simply lifting the existing 1994 zoning caveat would permit any C1 usage of the property, allowing development inappropriate for such a location and potentially damaging to the property value of my residents and those in the neighborhood. Richard Leipzig of 111 Kingsway has also prepared a submission for today that outlines the problems that could arise from improper rezoning and also makes recommendations to address the change of zoning. And Richard will speak in a while and you can hear his proposal. I have read that submission, and I support his proposal. In addition to Mr. Leipzig's recommendations, I think it's important to prohibit any change to the physical layout on the property at 50 Stafford. The location of the existing buildings provides a good buffer from the noise of Stafford Street. Additionally, placing the parking lot at the rear of the property where it currently is offers some open space that would be lost if the building was being located in that area. So for clarity, I believe that the size and location of the existing building and parking lot should not be tampered with or modified in any way. That concludes my presentation. Thank you for the opportunity to contribute to this process.
Thank you very much. Questions?
Inquiry. You mentioned the parking lot. I'm not understanding that it's moving. The parking lot's staying where it is. Is that correct, your understanding as well? Or?
That is my understanding. My reference there is that in the event that somebody was to take down the existing building and to move it or to add a building, I oppose that.
So what you're talking about is not the fact, don't talk about the business itself, talk about the zoning itself. That's the land is being rezoned for not just this one person, but forever and ever.
Yes. Again, the concern is not with what Mr. Washel has stated but as his interest, but what else could happen with the property, and that's what we want to protect against.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you. Christine Steen and Nick Logan.
My name is Christine Steen. I live at 53 Kingsway. My husband and I have lived there for 20 years, but his family has lived there since 1908, so we bring a little bit of a neighborhood perspective. I am writing to oppose the withdrawal of his existing zoning agreement by the applicant, who wishes to use this property to operate a retail jewelry and precious gems store. It has also been noted that the applicant plans to include jewelry manufacturing at the site, and I have concerns about any hazardous byproducts of that process. The subject property is presently zoned C1, commercial neighborhood, which restricts the usage in order to be compatible with the neighborhood. As there have been no fundamental changes in the neighborhood and adjacent educational institutions since this zoning was put in place, I see no reason to change it. Other than the fact that the applicant wants to locate a business that's not compatible with the zoning to that location. A move to a full C1 zoning will greatly affect the neighborhood. In fact, the zoning as it currently stands is stressing the neighborhood. The back lane that runs between Kingsway and St. Mary's Academy is currently overused by non-residential traffic that are accessing 50 Stafford. The dust and speed of traffic is a hazard. It's almost impossible to turn off Stafford due to traffic leaving the parking lot of 50 Stafford. A retail outlet will increase this traffic. We're not just talking about the six people that work there that are going to park I presume they're going to have some customers, and if they're a successful business, I presume they'll have many customers. A move to an unrestricted C1 zoning will allow any business to move to this location. I have been told that Kelvin High School is the only high school in Winnipeg that does not have a convenience store across the street from it. And for those of us who are picking up garbage in our beloved Peanut Park, the thought of a 7-Eleven close by is a nightmare. Crescentwood is a fragile neighborhood that is constantly being called to defend itself from those who seek to capitalize on the prime location without regard for the efforts of those who live there. The stately old homes need constant care and attention. That reads money, ladies and gentlemen. Our park is being reborn due to the efforts of those who live nearby. If current zoning can be changed on a whim, we have no chance to protect our little neighborhood. I am appalled that the current owner chose to take the easy way out and sell the business to the highest bidder. There are people out there that will buy this property and use it in the way that it has been zoned. The market may not produce as big a selling price, but the building was bought on that purpose. I am sure that there are people out there that will be happy to continue the current tradition and live at peace with the surroundings. The zoning as it stands was put in place to protect all parties in the immediate area. Nothing other than the desire of the applicant has changed. There's no real reason to make this change. Please consider rejecting this application and leave the zoning as it currently stands. Thank you. You're going to add something?
Sure. I just like to add that when you're part of a family that's owned a home for over 100 years, you tend to have a very clear sense of history. And also a very good vision of the future. And our neighborhood is like a special restored gem inside a very fragile shell around it. And as soon as you start cracking that shell, the neighborhood starts to break down. And should there become necessarily Bruce's business, but the secondary business, which will be there someday, and should it be a retail outlet or a bit of 7-Eleven, the houses on Kingsway will be worth much less. And it starts to break down the neighborhood. Something else will happen on another side of the shell, and we won't have the type of restored historical homes that you've got there today. So I would encourage you to leave the zoning the way it is. We need zoning protection. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Questions?
Just a quick question.
Quick question, if you can come back.
Your back lane. Is it gravel?
Yes.
It's mud.
Mud. Yeah, it was gravel one time. Not beyond that. Thank you. That's
you
my question.
You don't really want me to get into that.
No, I've been into it before. Yeah, I appreciate it. I just want to clarify that. Thank you.
Okay. Roger Marcella? Did you want to say anything or just be recorded in opposition?
Just be recorded as an opposition, but when I say I have the same concern as my neighbors.
Okay. Well, maybe just say a couple of things if you want to say something. That's fine.
Christine put it in all the words I wanted to say about that location, our area of Crescentwood there. I've been living there since 2003, and I've chosen that area because I want to raise my young family there. Such a beautiful piece of neighborhood there. Peanut Park, my neighbors, and I believe that there was a reason why there was a caveat on that property to restore that little area to protect us from a full-scale C1 operation. So, and that's why I'm here today. I'm much concerned about our area. You know, if you guys live in that area every day, every night, there's people walking up and down the street admiring the beautiful old homes. And to see a Subway or a Starbucks for people to hang around in it. Every day I pick up litter from school already. You can ask the principal because I give them a delivery every 2 months of garbage that I'm so concerned about that just gets left behind from the students. I can just imagine a Subway or a 7-Eleven nearby that would impact my property at night.
Okay.
Thank you.
Questions? Thank you very much. Richard Lipsky.
Good evening, councilors. I
live at 111 Kingsway. That's immediately to the south of the subject location. I'm two in from the corner. My back yard is immediately south of the existing parking lot. Not surprisingly, with regards to residents in Crescent, we take a different view amongst ourselves relative to certain matters. I'm probably a little bit more lenient in relation to the suggestion that the zoning agreement be lifted in its entirety. But I recognize that there are a lot of risks associated with the position that even I'm prepared to take. I'm writing, or I'm here to oppose the withdrawal of the existing zoning agreement, while at the same time endorsing with certain restrictions the new use being proposed by the applicant. Bruce Walko, who I have to commend, he did do a walk around of the neighborhood and he did have a chance to speak with us. So in essence, I don't have a complaint or a concern associated with that particular use. The difficulty, however, is that the property, the subject property is currently zoned C1 commercial neighborhood. And while this designation is intended to accommodate the lowest level of commercial uses compatible in scale and character with the surrounding residential uses, the existing zoning agreement, in fact, restricts the use of the subject property to only office use of less than 5,000 square feet. To permit the applicant's intended retail use, the applicant is proposing that the zoning agreement be removed in its entirety. I'm taking the view that we should be a little bit more surgical in regards to addressing the matter than the planning department has chosen to do in its recommendation. While at the time I drafted the letter, I hadn't had the chance to read the planner's report, I understand that the planner is in favor of the removal of the present zoning agreement, subject to it being replaced with a new zoning agreement, which would permit, in effect, any C1 usage, save and except the operation of what's described as a contractor's establishment. I respectfully submit that the more appropriate response would be to say, rather than say, as the planner is doing, all C1 uses except contractor's establishment, that the proper approach would be to say, no C1 uses except existing office and retail, subject to certain restrictions that I think are probably appropriate. The issue of now then permitting the C1 use would open the door, as I think people have already indicated to you, to the opportunity for a whole host of inappropriate uses for that property. And the subject property has a variety of characteristics that should be considered in whether to permit a C1 usage to apply to the property. So you've heard of some of them already this evening. First of all, the only vehicular traffic to the subject property is through the back lane. And that services both the subject property as well as all the homes on the north side of Kingsway. The back lane is gravel. On a good day. On a bad day, it's hard to determine what exactly it is except potholes. We won't get into that. But I can tell you it does not accommodate two-way traffic. So if you're trying to exit that back lane and there's a vehicle trying to enter the back lane, it's usually a bit of a Mexican standoff. Someone has to decide to back up. And particularly because Stafford is a main feeder between Academy and going south, what will typically happen if you get vehicles traveling south on Stafford is who want to make a left turn lane, they'll be presented with a vehicle trying to exit the back lane, and of course the whole issue then becomes who's moving. And typically if it's at rush hour traffic, that left lane attempt to turn in from Stafford finds cars backing up. I think you all appreciate that whole intersection itself is a conundrum to vehicles at the best of time. Likewise, if you're traveling north on Stafford and you want to make a right-hand turn into the lane when you're going home,
anybody's leaving that, you're exactly faced with the same opportunity of having to decide who's going to move, because either way, neither of you can accommodate the load at the same time. And I also point out that Kelvin High, with a student population of approximately 1,500 students, and the Academy, or St. Mary's Academy, with 550 students, in itself brings to the forefront a variety of issues associated with allowing the designation of a C1 use to be applied universally with respect to that property. When I went through the planner's report, and he rightly designates all of the potential uses associated with C1, some of them would be clearly objectionable. The most serious one, in my view, would be a restaurant, which is permitted under a C1 use. And while I might have no complaints associated with respect to the idea of operating, I would say, a low-intensity jewelry store, the fact is what the applicant is asking for the zoning agreement to be lifted in its entirety, and that for all C1 designations to be permitted, including that of a restaurant. And I question, therefore, whether or not there ought to be a more appropriate restriction in the event that the current applicant chooses at some later date to sell the property. We're leaving open the opportunity for such things as a restaurant, which I would find very objectionable, obviously. Odors, littering, loitering with the student population, it would be completely unacceptable for any potential relative enjoyment of the neighborhood by the residents. There are a variety of other uses under the C1 designation, albeit some of them are conditional. I take also great exception to some of them happen to be a fire station, a plaza, a hotel, a motel, all of which would not be appropriate relative to the C1 usage if the applicant was successful in removing the caveat. So my view would be is that I think somehow the process seems to be somewhat upside down. It leaves far too many C1 uses available to subsequent owners without any restrictions and any further due process to consider the same. In the case of conditional permitted uses under the C1 designation, the removal of the zoning agreement would effectively, in my view, give rise to a presumption that a conditional use is in effect permitted subject to certain conditions, and I think that's the wrong assumption. So I would suggest that the appropriate way to assure that subsequent C1 usage be scrutinized by both the City Center Committee and adjoining neighborhood is to provide that any C1 uses would have to require a further amendment to the zoning agreement. And hence, my position would be that the zoning agreement would be amended, not removed, in a fashion that would permit office uses and retail. Having said that, I've heard Christine and Nick, and I've spoken to other of the residents, and I think to address the fact that commercial usage by itself allows for up to 5,000 square feet of commercial use, I think in retrospect and on reflection, I'm probably being too generous with my perspective as why I would like to see a low-level intensity use of a jewelry store. I think what we would like to try to do is try and being creative to establish the fact that we should be, if we are allowing retail use, put some restrictions on it that would give some legitimate protection to ensure that it would be low level and low intensity retail. In other words, restrict the square footage. I also think, as Mr. Smith indicated, that the current configuration of the building also in itself would be worthwhile preserving in some fashion if the planner and the city is in a manner able to actually establish as part of any approval that the building configuration be remaining intact. It's 3,600 square feet. I'm told that when I read the planner's report that that the showroom attached to the jewelry store is going to be approximately 30 by 30, which is about 900 square feet. And the rest of the space is going to be used either for jewelry fabrication or for offices. And so I'm looking towards the notion that even with my view that low-level retail might be permitted, there ought to be some material restrictions on what that retail use should be, and the way that I would look to do it would be, A, to restrict the size of the retail usage, and I would propose something in the neighborhood of 2,500 square feet, because I think that might well cut out the sorts of usages that we would find objectionable, such as a convenience store, number one. And number two, I'd like to try and take a leaf out of what the planner's report was, and that was the existing zoning agreement, also by virtue of it, not only does it restrict the use of the property to office, but it also has a provision that says no new building, including additions to the existing building, shall be erected unless and until the plans include the location and design of the proposed buildings, parking lot development, fencing, and landscaping are submitted and approved by the City Center Community Committee. I'm not sure if that actually involves the process of allowing for any such additions or reconstruction to be one which would be put forward in a process much as the current one that would allow the community neighborhood to have notice and be in a position to make a presentation on the particular issue or not. I was actually doing Michael Robinson, who I should commend, by the way, has been very responsive to my inquiries in terms of giving me advice and direction and on a timely basis. But we were trading calls earlier this afternoon, and we never actually got back. The question I was asking him is there a way in which, if the applicant was successful, that not only could we restrict retail to a certain square footage, but are we able to impose a provision that the existing building and its configuration, as well as the lot parking, also be maintained, and that any changes to it would also require the same process which is currently underway in regards to the zoning agreement, so that the neighbors themselves would have, again, the opportunity. Because our biggest concern is not I speak for myself, my biggest concern isn't the current intended use. But as we all know, time flies, and sooner or later, everything passes through other hands. And I would hate very much to see that building torn down, placed to the back of the lot where the parking lot is, and next thing you know, what you have is a drive-in parking lot in front of Stafford, which would be an eyesore and also be conducive to a particular type of use that I don't think would be very attractive.
Thank you.
I have also, which I will be happy to table, and I will, I have four particular letters of support from neighbors, and I don't think I need to read them to the record, but I can certainly please consider them as tabled. And thank you for your consideration.
Are there any questions?
Nope.
Okay, thanks very much for your presentation. Is there any other people who wish to speak in opposition to this? This is your chance. Thank you. Seeing none, we'll ask the applicant to come back up. Mr. Watchell, if you have the opportunity to come back up and respond in rebuttal to anything that's been said by those in opposition, if you wish to add anything.
Thank you for the opportunity to address the committee, and thank you also to those in opposition for their clear and, I would say, fairly stated concerns. Obviously, parties approach these issues from different perspectives, and while I take as fair-minded and fairly spoken all of the objections, I would like to address them and suggest that the recommendation before the committee is in fact the appropriate course to be taken. I'd like to begin then by stating that the committee has looked at all of the circumstances, including had an opportunity to look at the traffic realities, the past history of the use of the property, the present and proposed use, and has stated clearly, the public service has, that restriction ought to be lifted. So I'm going to suggest that is the starting point. However, it is important to acknowledge that that there are some restrictions, and I those were referred to, but not to minimize those. It's referred to that there shall be no contractual or no contractor's use. There's also a signage space restriction, and while that's being expanded, the restriction remains in place. There's also a mobile sign restriction, and so it is my suggestion that these are of some significance. Certainly these restrictions don't go as far as what the neighbors are requesting, but there are some restrictions. The public service recommendation states very clearly there is little concern with the permitted and conditional land uses enabled by the full range of the zoning district. Potentially problematic uses are still quite restricted to a modest size and scale as per the zoning bylaws use specific standards. And so dealing then with some of the specific concerns, first of all, with the traffic, I'm going to suggest that the evidence is very clear. There's a great deal of traffic in the area right now. And the use of this particular property might affect the overall traffic use, but it would do so minimally. The evidence is that the existing occupant, the existing owner, has quite a bit of traffic coming onto the premises. My understanding is that that's a fair conclusion, even after listening to all submissions. A second observation is that the proposed use at the present moment would significantly reduce the traffic to the property. And I do want to acknowledge that, as far as I heard, it's probably fair to summarize the submissions not in favor as, in fact, being in favor of this specific use, but being opposed to anything as wide as has been suggested in the report before the committee. But the reality is that even if there is some change in the future, which is not proposed at the moment, but if there is some change in the future, it is quite likely that a number of those changes to see other C1 uses would still be less traffic, result in less traffic than is presently the case. Some would result in perhaps a similar amount, and some might result in a greater amount, but in all cases, the recommendation is that those are modest type of potential enterprises and they're compatible with the present property. There's, just before leaving the traffic issue, there's comments made about the two schools in the area, about how busy it is, about there being only the back lane access. The debris from the students as the situation presently stands, and of course that's the reality right now, and that of course has, I would suggest, nothing to do in the circumstances with the present or proposed use of the property. They're legitimate concerns, but they're not germane to this particular application or recommendation. There was a concern mentioned about possible hazardous bioproducts with respect. There'd be absolutely no evidence that there's any concern about that whatsoever. There was a comment made about property values, and there's always a tension between trying to keep things exactly the way they are and being progressive and opening up to other uses. And I would suggest that the recommendation takes a balanced approach to that. A number of the C1 potential uses are conditional. They're not allowed without a further hearing. There would be submissions allowed in that situation. And I submit that while it's possible to think of some extreme cases that may give rise to concerns, the proposal is balanced, taking everything into account. There's no evidence, despite the reference, that the market value of these properties, of the residential properties, is going to be compromised. There's no evidence that would suggest of that whatsoever. It is clear, however, for a commercial building that the more restrictions there are, then the fair market value is compromised for the commercial owner. So while I appreciate the comments that have been made and the suggestion that maybe there is some kind of a compromise, it would be my summary, my concluding comment, that the committee basically would have, I would suggest, three options. One is to refuse the recommendation, but it's my understanding that nobody is actually suggesting that, and presumably that's not a realistic option for the committee.
Okay.
There was one proposal.
Order, please. Let's not have...
What I heard was this particular use was being supported, but the concern is for other uses that might come. The other, another option is that the recommendation be accepted as presented, and that would be the position of the applicant, Mr. Washel. And, of course, another option is that one or two of the more extreme examples that could be applied for in a future C1 setting, that maybe that would be restricted. For example, a convenience store, a restaurant, those were two that come readily to mind. And obviously that is a potential compromise solution. It is my suggestion nonetheless that the recommendation be accepted as presented, that any potential other use, including of a convenience store restaurant, which is not on the table in any way whatsoever, but any potential use because of the size of the property, because of the restrictions, because of the other regulations, it would fall appropriately within the potential use of the property. It's not on the table right now. But I don't think there should be any kind of preemptive permanent restriction on that. That is my submission. Thank you very much.
Thank
for
you very much.
Submission.
So, one question, and it may be for your colleague, regarding the gem manufacturing. My understanding is there is quite hazardous materials that are used when you're doing that. I may be wrong. So I'd like to get some clarification. Is there, in the manufacturing process, going to be hazardous materials? And if there is, how will such materials be disposed of?
With regards to...
Did you want to come up? Thanks. Speaking of the microphone. Thanks.
With regards to hazardous materials, number one, the concept of like what is manufacturing, if you... to you know, put it in layman's terms so that everyone understands, if you have a wedding ring and you need it to be sized, we have one man at a bench 3 feet wide by 2 feet deep, and he sits there with a little tiny hacksaw, and he'll cut it, and he'll size it, and then he'll solder it. It's the same as if you're doing any fixing an electrical wire and you have to solder it. There's no byproducts. Like there's no byproducts associated with our process. And our process, like the concept of what is manufacturing, we're not manufacturing. It's like a little shop. Like there's really nothing to it. If you go to Toronto in the big cities, or Montreal, Vancouver, New York, they might have a place where they could have a bench as long as this table, and they might have all these people manufacturing, and they're just producing all kinds of things where that might be a concern if that was the case. That doesn't exist. I don't think there's any place in Winnipeg that builds jewelry that has more than three people working there, that I know of. It's not a concern.
Nothing for the applicant.
Folks? No?
No, not the applicant. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You can have a seat. Did you have any questions?
For the administration?
Yeah. Administration.
For the administration, there was comment that the showroom would be 30 by 30. However, my understanding is 12 by 12, the addition part. Or is, am I getting, the addition is 12 by 12, or is it 30 by 30?
In the letter of intent, it indicates that they're planning a vestibule addition to the building, which would be 12 by 12.
Right.
But the actual retail showroom they're proposing, I think, is 30 by 30.
Okay. That's the clarification. There was mention about future site plans for the area in the event that the building does change hands. Is it possible for this committee to have an amendment that would include that the finalized plans have to be approved by City Center Committee?
There's a condition in the current zoning agreement that requires plan approval to City Center.
So that would come back at the time when there's more exact drawings. And
yeah, the planning department already scrutinizes the plans, but we basically then would give them to you to take a second look as they came back for plan approval. So you could take the clause that's in the existing agreement, and I could provide the wording to you, and you could include that in the new zoning agreement, which would ensure that plan approval at City Center Committee was required.
And thirdly, regarding the usage, which I think we're at, I'll get to my preamble stuff after, but usage, do you see any, is there any problem with restricting the usage to, as was recommended, office and maybe potentially retail and excluding all other usages? Or does that defeat the whole, is that something possible we could do, or is that something the zoning bylaw will allow us to do?
You could do that in the zoning agreement. I mean, the way we look at it is this is an extremely restrictive zoning agreement. It only allows one use on the property currently.
Yes.
And the district, the zoning district that they have is C1, which is our least intensive. It's our neighborhood-oriented commercial area. And the way it's described in the zoning bylaw is the C1 district is intended to accommodate small, compact commercial uses within or surrounded by residential areas that are attractive and compatible in scale and character with surrounding residential areas to serve the convenience needs of the surrounding neighborhood. So the C1 district already has protections in it to deal with uses that wouldn't be compatible in the area. So it either restricts the size to a very small scale, or it completely prohibits the uses, or it requires a public hearing through conditional use. So we feel that there are protections in place to deal with residents' concerns. And restricting it to just two uses would be punitive, in our opinion, to the economic viability of the property. Okay. But that's our opinion.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. If you go ahead.